A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
So what we're going to do to start it off is you are going to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay.
It's on you.
Hello. My name is Maciej Suwałowski, which is a Polish name, which is very difficult to pronounce and read and write. That's why everybody calls me just Magic, which is a kind of English version of my name right now. I am a wedding photographer based in Poland, Warsaw. So I guess if you know any Polish people, I might be the only Polish person you know that actually lives in Poland.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. So, you know, like in UK, when you meet Polish people, they live in UK. In Germany, you meet Polish people, they live in Germany. It's because like there's like a big export of Polish people, I guess.
Right.
But no one actually lives in Poland except me.
So why? Why do you stay? Is it amazing?
Actually, I traveled a lot in the last few years, and I found that I really like my city. I was born and raised in Warsaw, so that's the capital of Poland. Just becoming kind of a nice artistic place with the good vibes, good food, and quite clean, I'd say, compared to the Southern Europe, for example. I like it there.
And you shoot weddings.
I do shoot weddings.
Do you shoot other things or just mainly weddings?
So I shoot weddings. And if my past clients will ask me to shoot their families or whatever, that's what I'm going to do. But I do not advertise any other stuff except weddings.
And how did that start for you?
Weddings?
Yeah.
So basically after my wedding, I picked up the camera and thought, oh, my photographer did a really nice job documenting my wedding and shooting some cool portraits. So I just got excited about photography in general. So I wasn't born with a camera. I'm not that guy that was, you know, born in a dark room and what are you doing?
Nothing. I was taking a picture.
Okay.
Now seems like a good time. We should tell everybody that we're sitting on the couch together.
On the couch together.
Because this is rare, because I'm usually like talking to someone in a far different time zone. But anyways, yes, I took a picture.
Yeah.
I'll post it. Everyone will see it. It'll be great. But nice. I didn't mean to throw you off your game. Are you shy of the camera?
What's that?
It was only your feet.
Yeah, but I didn't know what's that actually. Are you taking a selfie of your cheek or a picture of the laptop?
The laptop is in the photo.
Is in a photo.
Anyways, I derailed you. Go back to when you loved your own wedding photos.
Yeah, I did. And I'll start telling that I'm not that person who was like born in the dark room and had this analog camera forever and shooting and whatever. I got excited in photography, like got excited about photography in general, like in my mid-20s. So my first camera was digital camera, and I just started shooting some portraits of my wife. And then some friend from university was like, hey, you want to shoot my wedding? I'm like, yes, I can do it. So I shot one wedding, then I shot three weddings, 5, 10, 20, and yeah, that's how it started.
Now hundreds.
Just like that.
Thousands.
No, tons of thousands. just sweet. Like last year I shot like nearly 30. This year I'm shooting like nearly 20. Like 20 is my sweet spot. Like
right.
10 in Poland, 10 somewhere around the world.
Right.
It's the perfect combination for me right now.
Nice. Good to know. And what's your favorite place that you've traveled to shoot a wedding so far?
Oh, there was plenty of amazing spots that I've been. One of my favorite cities, although I haven't shot a wedding there, I was just visiting my friend, was Queenstown, New Zealand, which is like when you fly in there and you see that mountains on the left and on the right, and you just fly into this small hipster city of probably photographers and maybe snowboarders and that kind of people. Yeah, it was amazing. I loved Australia. I shot two weddings in Brisbane, which is one of the places I would consider as a place that if I ever want to move out from Poland,
you might go there.
Brisbane, yeah, is the spot. Okay, there's a cat behind me, just like making weird sound to my ears. And I'm allergic
Patrick
to cats.
Patrick is allergic to cats, and he's in my apartment. That's a mistake. You know how you get rid of that cat? You have to pretend to sneeze on him.
Doesn't work.
One more time.
Okay.
It worked a little bit, right?
You're way better at scaring the cats.
I'm very well practiced.
Okay.
You can also just like push him away because I think he likes you.
Okay. I get that a lot, at least from cats.
Now, you were just staying at Tomas's house and he has cats. How did that go?
Yeah, pretty good, actually. So all my allergies to cats, apples, and trees and stuff started in my 20s. So I wasn't born with them and kind of get that feeling right now that they're disappearing.
Okay.
So, yeah, Thomas has two cats, and they were just jumping all over me. I had this little eye thing, but, yeah, nothing really bad. So, actually nice.
Excellent. So, magic. Like, you're wearing a very colorful outfit right now. Let's hear a bit about your personal style.
Yeah, I'm blue, kind of, right now, with orange socks. Yeah, I like colors, to be honest. And it seems like I was working before my actual job, full-time photography, I was a full-time lighting designer working for a corporation. So Monday, Friday, 9 to 5. And I was still wearing as colorful outfits as I could. Because before that, my first job was also lighting designer, but in a very small company when my boss was like, you have to wear exactly stuff like I wear. And he was just wearing like a gray suit. I'm like, what? I'm just sitting all day in front of computer. Why? Why do you ask me to do it? And he was like, because from time to time you will open the door and some client might come and you have to look professional. That was so bad. And that lasted for like 3 years, and after that I was like, I'll never wear a fucking suit again.
Oh my god, yes.
And my corporate position was much like my corporation was much lighter in this kind of aspect, so I was wearing lots of colorful stuff like hats and glasses and all that stuff. I remember my friends laughing at me wherever anyone took my hat and put it on his head. Looks like freaking idiot, and like it just didn't look good on anyone else except me. So I guess so I stayed in the vibe and just keep everything as colorful as I can.
How do you decide what to wear at a wedding?
I'm sipping your Coke, by the way.
Yeah, part of being at my house.
Part of being at Aaron's house is just drinking Coca-Cola. So it depends on the wedding. If it's very elegant Tuscany wedding, I'm going to have a jacket and a like almost a suit, but I'm going to have like some pattern printed shirt and colorful socks. But if it's elopement in anywhere in the world, I'm going to go probably more loose. I get like all the time, like each wedding doesn't matter what kind of wedding it is, I will have some colorful socks. And at each wedding, I'm going to have like 2-3 people coming over to me and saying that I have a cool socks or just a cool style, basically. So, yeah, it's just a part of the brand to have everything in the same voice, starting from what I wear, how I speak, what I do, and how my website looks, and what I do on my Insta stories, and yeah.
Now you're pretty prolific on the Insta stories. How did that come to be a thing?
So I used to be much more active. Right now I'm just doing it like once in a while. So there's just one idea, just to do like just to show my personality through the behind the scenes. So I've seen plenty of Insta stories, plenty of accounts using Insta stories as another way to show the pictures.
Right.
Which I'm like, oh, there's so many channels that you've already been showing pictures. Why not just show yourself so you get the reason for people to A, follow you here, B, get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they already know your work. They go to Instagram, they see your beautiful, consistent feed with all these images. So why do they have to see more of this?
It's true. I never thought about that. Sometimes you do, like, someone's like new blog post, and then it's like 10 Insta stories of like photos on the blog.
Yeah. It's on the blog. Come
on.
It's on the blog. Tell them. Tell them with your face. Like, it's on my blog. Go and swipe up. See.
Yes. I just recently got swipe up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a rite
Congrats.
Of passage. Thank you.
You passed 10,000.
Very exciting.
10K.
But now I'm like, what can I make people swipe up to? I'm like trying to think of things. I'm like, I guess I better write a blog post.
Yeah. The swipe up is actually great. Actually, probably for bigger accounts, even I'm barely above 10K. So I'm not like a huge Instagram account. But yeah, it still works. It still brings people to see the work.
People really want to swipe up.
They want to swipe up. Yeah. But you have to give them a good reason to do it.
It's true.
Too. So yeah.
I like it. Okay. Magic. Release the dragon. Talk about your brand a little bit.
My brand. I kind of think it's like that simple, you know, just, a lot of people say like, you have to be a personality, or you have to be this, or you have to be that. And then your about me page should be like this, and your page should be like that. And I decided to think about what do I like, what do I watch, what do I listen to, what kind of style of drawings I like all these, you know, all these logos of photographers with mountains and the bird and the reindeer or whatever else. It's pretty cool, but you know, people have that idea who they want to be, not necessarily who they actually are, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it's quite simple. What I do, I just put it there. I like colorful stuff. I like wearing colorful stuff. So I like my website to be super colorful. It doesn't have to be like minimalistic and like, you know, art gallery and Pinterest-ish curated. It just has to show the crazy stuff that I'm into. And not farther than today in the morning, I had a Skype with clients. When they were immediately at the very first words during the Skype, they were like, we want to book you. We saw your website and we're in love from like all that stuff we saw. Not necessarily work, but like all that, everything around work, which is my website. I got so many times, I got booked by clients that told me they booked me because of my About Me page, because of my Insta stories, or because of just the vibes that they get, or even the pricing list, which is also like as quirky as all my website.
Yeah, it's so
cute. Yeah, I call it Enter the Dragon. That's going to be a bit part of the talk in Cologne. Yeah, so come to Cologne.
I love it. I'm looking at your website, and I am listening to you also. But I got really excited because I saw pineapples, which I really enjoyed.
I just saw these pineapples in front of me here.
Yes, I do have some pineapples in my house.
One of my favorite shirts was, like, I don't wear it often right now, was my pineapple, like, pink pineapple shirt. So, like, my favorite color is pink. Favorite fruit is pineapple.
Favorite, and then just throw some dragons
favorite
in there.
Car would be a spaceship because I don't drive cars.
Yeah.
Favorite animal would be dragon/dinosaur.
Yes.
So yeah, you Sweet. Like dinosaurs, right?
Absolutely. Who doesn't? What kind of a monster doesn't like dinosaurs?
I don't know. Some weird people.
Oh my gosh! I have an inflatable T-Rex costume in the closet. Maybe we'll pull it out after this.
Oh man, I want to.
You
want to
get in there and just go get in there and run around?
And go in the street, with my camera.
Yeah.
And shoot portraits wearing that costume. How about that?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you're very familiar with Way Up North. You know exactly what goes on. You've been at all of them?
Except one, that was the online one.
Right, the online one. That one wasn't even very good.
All the big ones. I've been all to. I'm considering myself as a Way Up North kid.
Yeah, you're definitely
I was born at Way Up North.
So you know kind of, you know exactly what year. What you're getting into, and you did do a shorter talk a couple of Way Up Norths ago. Mm-hmm. So, are you going to be nervous for this one?
I'm always a little bit nervous, at least at the beginning, because I'm not like English speaker, native speaker, so that gets me a little bit nervous because sometimes I have to go around a word or a sentence that I just like don't get. Can't get out of my head exactly as I would love to.
Right.
So that's the one small thing that gets me a little bit nervous. And then, of course, just like, you know, whether they're going to like it or not. There is some like a little bit of a judgment thing where you sit and listen to 10 speakers. It's like, oh, this one is better and this one was not so good. And so I know that from the attendee perspective, like, this guy nailed it, and that was boring, and I slept during this. So I would like to be considered as the one who nailed it.
Or at least that nobody goes to sleep, ideally.
So maybe I'll just put some loud music in my presentation, like every second slide.
Just like heavy metal.
Explosion sounds, or maybe just dinosaurs.
What are you going to talk about? Have you planned your talk at all yet?
A bit. So it's going to be a little bit of the like, extension of the brand thing, the Enter the Dragon thing, and how I rather still consider myself as a more of a craftsman than artist, you know? So like being good enough in certain... let's say parts of our business, and that made me kind of successful, at least like whatever is considered to be being successful doing this full time, that's successful for me, you know, just making money, like documenting people's memories and yeah, so stuff like that.
I dig it.
You like it?
Yes.
Mm? I love your talk, too.
Oh, thank you.
But I haven't heard the long one.
It was even better. There was a lot of pictures of Francis, and a couple of my cats in there. The long one was almost harder because it was somehow harder to, like, stay.
Than the 10-minute one?
Yeah. The short one was so concise, like... I took like 17 minutes, if you remember.
You did. You ruled the time, so I talked for 11.
But like that had to be so concise to get through it all that it was like I had stricter kind of plans for myself. Whereas in the long one, I kind of like loosely thought, you know, 5 minutes on this, 5 minutes on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go on like the odd tangent in my longer talks. Yeah. It just felt like so much time. And then suddenly it was 45 minutes and I needed to wrap it up.
Gotcha.
So that's my tip to you. Don't see it as an endless sea of time.
No, I know. I can talk for like, recently I became Sony ambassador for Europe, which is amazing when you have a brand that, you know, wants you to represent them, which meant I got to do some more workshops with several different types of people, like salespeople, salesmen, people that are not wedding photographers, but just photographers in general, then wedding photographers. And I always found myself during all these talks to exceed time.
Yeah.
Although like my 10 minutes, I nailed my 10 minutes.
You did. You crushed it.
Because I was like, 10 minutes is the perfect, like up to 20 minute talk is the talk that I know I can, you know, prepare in a way that I'm going to repeat 3 times. And I'm going to know I'm going to, you know, maximize my time.
Yeah.
While, like, longers are a little bit difficult, more difficult. to me.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I hope you will not kick me out of the stage.
I probably will kick you out.
Yeah, especially I'm just a second one on the first day, so there's like
Francis wants to come sit with us. Let's move over a little bit.
Come, doggy. Hey, yo.
She really likes the couch. She doesn't like when she gets kicked off. The hardest thing about the long one, okay, settle down, is it's harder to practice because it's so fucking long. So you practice your 10-minute talk 4 times in an hour and you're like dialed.
You're practice a 45-minute talk
mm-hmm. 4 times. Like,
not possible. I don't have that much time in my life. Yes. I have 3 kids.
Yeah, you have 3 kids, almost 4 kids.
Almost four. Fourth coming just before way up north.
We're getting a lot of traffic sounds here today. Sorry, people.
Sorry, people.
It's too hot to close the door. So you're having a fourth just before way up north.
Yeah, like 2 weeks before.
So you're going to be like a little bit sleep deprived.
That's always an issue with 3 kids already. So yeah, I guess my brain used to sleeping not more than 6 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, here I have like 2 days free and it's just like crazy. I wake up after 6 hours like, oh, should I sleep more or just do something? Yeah, people with kids, they know.
Yeah, you got to sleep while you can get it. What is your, do your wife is not your second shooter? Do you ever have a second shooter?
Almost never. So the thing is, I don't drive cars. So quite often if I get a second shooter, it's just to have someone to drive with me somewhere and just chat and hang out during a wedding. I found myself to like not even shooting in different, I'm just so used to shoot as a single person that I want to cover it all.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, so hard for me to shoot with a second person.
Do you have trust issues?
Probably a bit, you know.
That's what makes it hard. You just, you don't want to know what's like, going to shoot.
And then they bring so many more photos, so much more photos. Then, like 2 months ago, I shot with really my great friend from Cyprus. Came to shoot with me in Tuscany,
mm-hmm.
And brought me another 5,000 photos, and I had 10,000. That was a 3-day wedding, so that was a lot.
Yeah.
Usually I shoot like between 3,000 and 4,000, but here I ended up with 10,000, and he gave me another 5, and I was like, what?
But do you outsource your editing?
Nope, I edit. Yeah, I just edited it yesterday at Tomas's house. So.
Oh my God. How many did you get it down to?
I won't tell you because I'm not proud of it. It's just too many. It's too many. Tomas was looking at me and like, this is so wrong. This is so wrong.
But they're going to love it.
So I hope so. Actually, I'm going to send them, like, as soon as we finish that, I'm going to send it to them. Alex and Brian, maybe they'll listen to it. Hey, I'm sending pictures to you guys.
I hope you have no plans for the next 2 days. So you can
look at
them.
I told them, like, get ready. Just get the wine. 3-day tomorrow. Yes. There's just too many pictures. Yeah. But 3 days.
I recently got a gallery from a photographer. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I just, like, could not cull this down any further. And it did take me, like, I was going through the photos one by one, which I rarely do. I usually just go through the gallery and then go in on ones that I like. I was going through them one by one and it took me for freaking ever. I don't even know how long. I definitely had to
how many
during. I think it was like 3,000.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Okay, that's more than
right?
Really.
So for like so a this normal, is not the number I had. A normal wedding, like, but it also was, I'm not going to name names because I don't want to shame this person, even though they should feel ashamed because there was like, so many photos of the same thing. It's like, can't you just pick one of those three that are almost the same? Like, you're the professional. Just pick the one.
I know.
Of
I
that
know.
Bridesmaid coming down the aisle. I don't need 5 of her coming down the aisle. Just pick one where she looks
totally
good. So it was, totally. I was like slightly.
Yeah, I'll show you my gallery in a second. I wonder what will you tell.
How many is it?
It's 2,000 pictures.
2,000. Okay. I mean, that's, I mean, just because I had this experience recently, that
it's
doesn't
not, it
that
doesn't
bad.
Sound that bad. So usually it's like between 600 to 800 from a normal wedding.
That sounds right.
And very occasionally I go above 1,000. If it was like a wedding full of, you know, things happening, I usually stay late. I stay late dancing. I bring like hundreds of photos of people dancing like crazy.
Right.
So there's that. But this wedding not only was like full of action, like we started pretty early. There was like a huge bridal party. So all the girls, all the portraits, huge families with a lot of grandparents. Like they had every single grandparent.
Wow.
At the wedding that flew from New York to Tuscany. So like it was just huge from like for, you know, every perspective. And then with the day before, then with the picnic day after, and other portraits day after. So it's basically when I divided in PixieSet into categories.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just a, you know, few hundred here, few hundred here, few hundred here, few hundred here, just adding up because there was just so many things happening.
That sounds reasonable, though. It's like multi-day and all the grandparents are alive. When does that ever happen?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I'm still pretty ashamed of myself.
I'm excited. I want to check it out. Mm-hmm. But when you're editing those photos, do you have to edit every single photo or you just
kind of
like...
Yeah, correct. Every single one. So, of course, it's easy these days with you know, copying and pasting the settings. So if you have kind of the same light situation, I shoot everything manually with manual white balance. So the pictures from one moment is going to be rather similar.
Right.
So then you just edit one, copy, paste, and correct the rest. Like a little bit this, a little bit that, next picture. A little bit this, a little bit that, next picture. So this is pretty quick. Way of doing stuff. It was not that hard because everything was beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
So the light was a bit harsh during a ceremony. The worst was during a portrait of the family because it was on the field in Tuscany with like 4 p.m. light. And there was no shade anywhere. We could go farther away, but you can't go farther away with like four grandparents.
Yeah, totally.
From each side. So, yeah, we had to stay in the field, just backlit them and just get it done. I know they're going to love it. You're going to love it.
They're going to love it. I'm excited. Okay. Let's like wrap it up because everyone's been listening and you've been very entertaining.
I'm sorry.
I'm happy about that. But tell us like a fun fact about you, something that like people don't know already. Do you have any secrets left?
Except I don't have driving license, that one.
That was a good revelation.
So, yeah.
You're
this
such
guy,
a loser.
I'm a loser in life. I go to Iceland.
But you're European, and I feel like that's okay in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
The
worst was when I went to L.A.
Yeah.
To shoot a wedding. And there was one more wedding in Palm Desert, which is like just 1 hour drive or 1.5. And I took a plane.
Oh my God, that's very rock star.
It was like probably $300.
Very rock star.
To get to the closest airport. That was the shortest flight of my life.
Yeah, because you can't.
But then
really...
I landed in a really beautiful airport in Palm Springs.
Yeah,
which
so good.
Is a really nice airport. But there's always a way around it. It's just so much, much more comfortable to not care about where to park.
Sure.
And like follow them and whatever. Clients are like very understanding, you know, like, yeah, just help me out. There's probably tons of people with cars.
Yeah.
So that's super easy, actually.
And I mean, they need to get where they're going to, and you're just hanging with them. So, yeah.
In a car.
That's fair.
Yep.
That wasn't another thing, though. That was an old thing from earlier in this time.
Another thing. You know everything already.
It's true, I know it all.
And it's the stories of cats allergic to
cats. Cats coming back.
Kids.
Don't be afraid to push him away.
One more kid coming.
I know he's so
drinking
cute, though.
Coke. Nice. I don't know if there's any more. Probably there's tons, but yeah.
All right.
It's a hard question.
We'll leave it.
Let's leave it.
I can't believe you didn't have a good answer for that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry to disappoint
it's
you.
It's fine. You also told me you were a lighting designer. Like
yeah,
a lighting designer for shows or like a lighting designer for like an office?
For industrial spaces, actually. So I used to design shopping malls.
Oh, interesting.
And train stations.
Ooh.
So that was like I did almost graduated from Warsaw University of Technology, electrical engineering, specialized in lighting design.
Cool.
So I studied that for 6 years, and then I just dropped.
Yeah, because you became magic.
Yeah, I became magic, but still working for the next 5 years as a lighting designer.
Like a sucker.
So yeah, the transition to magic wasn't as short as it could be.
It was not instant.
It was not instant.
You woke up it's one like, day and you're like, wait a minute.
I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, actually, that's a fun fact. You know, who came up with the name magic was James Moss.
Nice.
At the very first Way Up North.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't before that?
Before that, I didn't know anybody. I was like just a random guy from Poland, and I just came to Way Up North not knowing a single person.
The name no one can spell.
With the name
say.
No one can spell, right? And there's a table with two people that I don't know who they are, and that was James Moss and Sam Blake.
Nice.
And I'm like, hi, I'm Magic. And James Moss is like, Magic, such a cool name, bro. Yep.
I love your impression of James Moss.
I love James Moss. He's in my heart. He's deep in my heart.
Yeah. He's really close. We could drive to him in like an
hour
and a half.
I know. No, he's not. He's just moved to Kansas City.
What? Not in Seattle anymore?
Nope. Sold his house and moved to Kansas City. So he's not that close anymore.
No,
I saw him in Seattle a few months ago.
Okay.
And I miss you, bro.
Anyways, good score. James coming up with magic. It was life-changing.
You could put that in your CV.
Yes.
Or in your About Me page. I came up with name magic for magic wedding photographer.
So good. All right, let's say goodbye.
Probably he doesn't even know that.
No. We're going to tell him, though. Should we phone James Moss? And just say it?
That would be weird.
No, I think it would be fun. Except for I don't know if I have a cell in my phone. But we're definitely going to send him an email. Maybe I do. Oh, my God, I do. Oh, but it's a Seattle number. Let's try it.
You think he didn't change the number?
I don't know. Let's just see what happens.
I guess
let's live a little.
That's so funny.
James Moss is Way Up North alumni. I'm not even going to tell him.
So James Moss was the highlight of the first Way Up North.
It's true.
He's going to think you want to offer him a wedding to shoot.
It's true, he will.
Please leave your message for...
No.
Please leave your message for...
For.
Oh, that could have been so fun and funny, though. Another day we'll tell him. Okay, we're saying goodbye now. And we're going to go do fun things while you're visiting here.
Yes, let's do it. Yes. Thanks so much for having me on your couch.
Thank you for taking some of your day off to come and be on my couch and chat with us. And then we're going to see each other again in Germany in like
a month. Yes,
awesome.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, bye, Magic.
Enter the dragon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.